going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, Payne.
I can admit I need to be better.
Hey.
He just hit one deep to left field and all the way back to the wall. 1-0 Astros. Christian Walker hits number 3 on the season. He's now 4-for-4 since the off day, hitting the home run to get things going for the Astros.
Yeah, there you go.
Hanging breaking ball, and he smashed it.
That was good to see. Christian Walker, a couple hits. He continued his streak at the beginning of the game last night. He was 3-for-3 a couple nights ago. He was 2-for-his-first-2 last night. Christian Walker seems to be snapping out of it. That's good to see because Yordan Alvarez needs some protection in this lineup, and Christian Walker will be a big key to that moving forward. Yeah. Astros win last night 3-1. They sweep the Blue Jays, Seth. First sweep of the year. And, man, the pitching was really, really good in this series.
As it has been, as of late, in the series they allowed how many hits? 7 hits?
Nine hits and 2 runs in 27 innings.
Yeah. The 1.77 ERA in the past 8 games.
Yeah.
And they've been good throughout the duration of the season, but particularly dominant as of late. And including versus the Padres, entered the series versus the Astros with the best record in baseball. And the Astros, they took a little wind out of their sails. They did. But the biggest thing, honestly, is that at some point, I think you're going to get, obviously, we've seen hints of the power returning. Yordan's the guy that's most glaringly absent from that. And part of it is just that teams have just not been pitching to him.
Right.
Especially with Yiner and Christian Walker hitting the way they've been hitting in Paredes early on. Why bother pitching to Yordan Alvarez? So hopefully with Walker and Yiner and everybody else starting to hit more like you're hoping they can hit, that Yiner starts seeing some pitches.
Yordan starts seeing some pitches. Yordan,
nobody's pitching around Yiner.
In the meantime, right now, But in the meantime, the pitching's been outstanding. Here was Joe Espada last. By the way, Todd Callis on the call right there, Space City Home Network. Here was Joe Espada last night. Ryan Gusto was excellent last night. Gave up one run over, I think, five innings and change, maybe 6 innings last night. Struck out a bunch of guys again. That was good to see. Here was Joe Espada on rookie Ryan Gusto.
You know what? How we knew that he can be this pitcher, and obviously we decided to send him down to the minor leagues earlier, and then we started looking around our roster, and we're like, you know what, this kid has a really good arm. He can give us some flexibility out of the bullpen, and we know if something happens in the rotation, this kid can step in and do that, and he's doing just that. He's throwing the ball really, really good.
Yeah, he's like the pitching version of DiCenzo and Cam Smith. Like, you know what? Probably be good if he pitched every 5 days at Sugarland or something like that, but
yeah,
he can really help us.
Right, and that's one thing where the Astros – their ability to take and transform and get the very best out of pitchers is still very much a thing. Mm-hmm. If anything, I feel like sometimes we as Astros fans, our expectations are still a little too high because offensively, because we've watched the Astros in the golden era had some of the best offenses in the history of baseball. Sometimes our expectations are a little too high. Mm-hmm. I feel like our expectations of the pitching, coaching, and analytics staff to get the absolute most out of their pitchers is still very much intact and should be.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I mean, Gusto's a guy that Gusto's own high school coach didn't think he was that good.
Right.
And, you know, another guy on the roster who's like that is Sean Dubin, mm-hmm. who really wasn't that great a pitcher in high school, and he just kept pitching. And then he gets the major league or gets the professional baseball and couldn't have gone to a better scenario.
Getting the right organization, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's injured, and at some point maybe we'll see him again. But they just have so many guys littered around their organization like that that you can – it's okay to have high expectations for Gusto.
Yeah. Everybody in the lineup had at least one hit last night. That was fun to see. You know, just everybody kind of chipping in. Pena's hitting streak is at 14 games now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's only got, let's see, that's only 42 more games to catch Joe DiMaggio for the all-time record. So that was good to see. You know,
how many more?
42.
42?
Yeah, 56-game hitting streak is the all-time
DiMaggio
record.
DiMaggio guy was pretty good, eh?
He was good. He got a lot of tail, yeah. too, man. That 56-game hitting streak got him a lot of tail.
We don't know if he got a lot, but the quality was
good. The quality was good, yeah. I don't know if he was Jeter or anything like that. And I was concerned last night in the ninth inning that I jinxed Josh Hader when he started putting guys on base. I'm like, oh, man. I acknowledged him yesterday. I said, you know who we haven't been talking about enough? Josh Hader, that's who. Mm-hmm. And then it gets a little trafficky in the ninth inning. But he pitched out of it. It was fine. It's all good, man.
It was a perfect Blue Jays game because George Springer had a really nice hit in the game, but it was all for naught.
There you go.
So Springer's been having a hell of a season. Yeah. So the fact that they swept the Blue Jays, but at least we did see some nice moments out of George Springer.
Yep. So Astros win. We got to that. Rockets win. We talked about that in the open. We'll talk about both in headlines. So yesterday I posed the question to you, Seth. Draft, NFL draft tonight. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 6. Text message. Are we going to talk Texans? Yes. Be patient, people. We're going to get to everything. We have a playoff win in basketball last night. The Astros are finally looking like a contender again. And yes, we're going to talk plenty of draft. It's a four-hour show. We're going to get to the Texans right now. I asked Seth this question yesterday because it looks like the way things are shaping up. We'll kind of summarize some of the nugget hussies here in just a second and what everybody's saying because it does seem like there is a consensus that the Texans are looking to trade up. Kelvin Banks is a big name they're looking at, but offensive line is the position group at the very least that they're looking at drafting in the first round.
Yeah, and Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle out of Texas, is the most interesting scenario because he's consistently going in the top half of the draft in mock drafts. And I take all of these reports of the Texans making calls to teams that are in the top 15 with a huge grain of salt, because for one, you know what else all those teams in the top 15 have? They have picks in rounds 2 through 7.
Yeah.
So Caserio is always making calls. Caserio is making calls to teams in the top half of the draft and in the bottom half of the draft. I think that they are very probably much open to trading up, but it's got to be at the right price. So I know this is where people get nervous because there's all these other reports that, hey, teams don't really seem all that interested in trading up. They don't want the Texans to overpay in a year where it should be easy to trade up.
Yeah.
So what is the exact right price and how much would they want, say, Kelvin Banks if that's the guy they really want?
Yeah, yeah. So I asked, it seems like they're zeroing in on offensive line. I posed the question to Seth yesterday. Will the Texans' first round pick come out of which group will the Texans' first round pick come out of? One of two groups. The first group is Tyler Booker, guard out of Alabama, Kelvin Banks, who we just mentioned, tackle from Texas, and Donovan Jackson, guard out of Ohio State. That's group one. Group two is every other player in the draft. Okay,
yeah.
So you either get those three guys who have been heavily, heavily tied to the Texans, or everybody else. You at first said those three guys, Seth, Booker, Banks, and Jackson, and then we kind of talked it through.
Yeah.
And as you are allowed to do in this exercise, you flipped over to the field. You're usually a field guy.
I never took my hand off the checker.
That's right.
So I slid it right back to the
field.
That's
right. That's right.
Yep.
So you said field. Now, I posed that question to the people. Several hundred people voted in this thing. What do you think the people said about this?
I think the people, knowing that at least a third of the Texans fan base, at least a third, actually really wants a wide receiver compared to an offensive lineman, I'm going to say that they said the field.
They did not.
They didn't.
Okay. They did not. And this one, this might be the poll where your Spidey sense is off by the most.
Oh, whatever.
I'm just telling you the numbers. 76.5% think that if they have to predict, they're not saying what they want. They're predicting you're predicting what the Texans are going to do. 76.5% said they think that the pick is going to come from that group of three of Booker, Banks, and Donovan Jackson.
I think this is the big thing. Yeah. And this is where it gets incredibly hazardous just believing too much of what all these nugget hussies say.
Yeah.
And because Calvin Banks' name has been out there heavily in the last 48 hours, yeah, I think people feel, and it does make sense. If you've been listening to all the nugget hussies, some of them are informed nugget hussies.
They are. I mean,
Daniel Jeremiah is not a nugget hussy.
No.
He doesn't. Some of these nugget hussies are basically mouthpieces of the agents or GMs.
Yeah.
Whereas Jeremiah is a lot more.
He doesn't break news. Yeah.
Okay. So the big thing is, let's say the Texans really do like Calvin Banks and maybe they're trying to trade up for him to have an opportunity to draft him. If they don't, there's a really good chance that either Tyler Booker or Donovan Jackson, both guards, plus Jackson can play tackle. There's a really good chance that one of those two guys is available at 25.
Yeah.
And that's where it feels like, man, they take these high character swarm type guys. They're sitting right there at 25. That it's hard after we've been fed all this propaganda to believe that they won't take one of those two guys.
Yeah.
I personally think that there's a chance that Calvin Banks might slip a little bit further than where most people have him going as well, which increases the likelihood the Texans can trade up for him.
Mm-hmm.
So my hunch would be if Calvin Banks slides out of the top 15, the Texans might get super aggressive to go up and get him.
I could see that. And you've got the extra draft capital from the Laremy Tunsil trade. You've got an extra 3 this year. You've got an extra 2 and an extra 4 in 2026. And we'll point this out again, as we discussed this same topic yesterday, that the last two off seasons, I think one of the earmarks of those off seasons has been Nick Caserio using extra draft capital to go get assets that he wants,
yeah,
that the team wants badly. They used all that extra Deshaun Watson draft capital to go up and get Will Anderson, to move from 12 to 3 to get Will Anderson in 2023. Last year, it wasn't a draft day trade, but they made the move down in the draft with Minnesota to pick up an extra 2 in 2025. They never used that 2. They never came close. They used it to go get Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
So I do think, yes, I do think there's an element of if you got a little extra change in your pocket, use it to go buy some certainty for yourself, or at least perceive certainty for yourself.
The other big wild card is people wonder whether, man, DeMeco always wants defensive linemen. He's been looking for a big impact 3-down defensive tackle for multiple years now, kind of taking swings at the plate and whiffing. I wonder, two big things that have developed in the last couple days is that there's two defensive tackles that might be there that look like first-round talent. Derek Harmon and Walter Nolan.
Yeah.
Slightly different types of players, but Derek Harmon's got a shoulder issue that people are reportedly concerned about.
Okay.
Walter Nolan might have either some maturity, yeah, or temperament issues or whatever else it might be, and people have voiced concern about that. Either one of those sound to me like a guy that maybe the Texans just don't have him on the board in the first round.
It could be.
So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they say, okay, no, we don't like. If you go back to when they drafted Will Anderson, the other guy that was kind of in contention with Will Anderson was the
Tyree Wilson. Yeah.
And then news of his ankle injury popped up just a couple days before the draft.
Yep.
Tyree Wilson has barely played football, I think.
That would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
Certainly to trade up for him would have been a disaster, but drafting him, period, would have been a disaster. He went a couple picks later after the Texans took Will. But yeah, you look at it, Seth, Albert Breer, Texans sniffing around on a trade up, target strong character players for that offensive, yeah, line room. Jeremy Fowler, Nick Caserio's been making calls to teams in the upper half of the first round. Diana Rossini yesterday. These guys and gals are all emptying their notebooks the day before the draft. Nick Caserio's made at least 3 draft day trades every year. The most notable one was for Will Anderson. She talks about him. The Texans have been actively making calls about a potential move up. Todd McShay did his podcast, talked about the Texans looking to that. There seems to be a general consensus that the Texans are looking to move up. And I guess you bring up the very valid point, which is, How much of this is them actively looking to do it? How much of this is just Nick Caserio canvassing the entire league to see what's out there, right?
By far the dumbest report. The absolute dumbest report was the guy yesterday we talked about who said that the Texans are talking to teams in the top 15, but they're also calling teams behind them in the
Fowler.
Draft.
Yeah, that was Jeremy Fowler.
Jeremy Fowler. Yeah. So that, I don't think it's ever Nick Caserio feeding information to people other than perhaps a few select instances. It's all these other GMs or people from front offices that are like, oh yeah, I talked to old Nick the other day, called me up.
Yep.
Said he was willing to part with this and that. He was.
Yeah.
How about Tyree Wilson has played, by the way. He's only started four games since he's gotten in the NFL.
Yeah, he's not as good as Will.
He has played. He just hasn't started much.
Good for him. Because that's what you're looking to get from the sixth overall pick or whatever the hell he was. How about this, man? We're getting hashtag and Nick We Trust on the text page, on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Stop with the swarm bleep. We haven't said swarm, I think, this morning yet.
You did just now? Swarm.
Okay, did you? Okay, yeah.
Swarm has worked out pretty damn well for the defense.
Yeah,
texted that in. Let us know whether you want us to stop talking about it or whether you think the team is a little too concerned with
it. Right.
All right. If you're happy with the way the swarminess of the offense right now, then yeah, by all means.
Yeah, let's just scrap it.
Just go out there like you're somebody who needs three Viagras just to wake up in the morning.
That's right.
Because that is a limpid offense right now.
Flaccid.
Okay?
That is
not swarmy whatsoever.
Flaccid offense.
Yeah, that offense's wife is flirting with the pool boy.
That's right. Yeah, they're flirting with the Chiefs. They're flirting with the Ravens. Yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Headlines coming up next. We'll circle back to the Rockets and the Astros. It's draft night as well. Lot to get into in headline. Lot to get into today on the show, man. Appreciate you getting up with us here. We're with you till 10 a.m. this morning.